This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden has declared a state of emergency in California as the state confronts the latest storm system. CBS's Steve Futterman is there.
In many parts of Northern California, they are stacking sandbags. Last week, the concern was snow. This week, it's rain and floods. The rain is already coming down, and it's melting snow. That combination is what worries officials.
Flooding is imminent. Please evacuate your residents now.
Residents who are staying are trying their best to get ready.
We have our solar-powered lamps ready.
In some areas, the rains are forecast to continue into next week. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
President Biden is responding to the latest jobs report, which showed more than 300,000 positions were added last month. Here's CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The president calls it a good jobs report, but investors worry it will lead the Federal Reserve to increase interest rates at a faster clip. The next report on consumer prices is due next Tuesday. Mr. Biden says he hopes it will show inflation to be in solid shape.
I feel confident that we're headed in the right direction.
Asked about budget proposals House Republicans are beginning to offer, Mr. Biden said one GOP plan would result in drastic federal cuts to police, firefighters, and health care.
I don't know. We just have a very different value set.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Sexual assaults are up at military academies nationwide. CBS's Cammie McCormick has that story.
One in five females say they experienced unwanted sexual contact. This report shows an 18% jump in assaults over the previous year. The Navy in particular showed nearly double the number. The student survey found increases in everything from touching to rape at all of the schools.
Suspected drug cartel members in Mexico have handed over five people reportedly involved in the deadly kidnapping last Friday of four Americans. Two Americans and a Mexican woman were killed when gunmen opened fire on the four U.S. citizens in the city of Matamoros. The Americans had come to Mexico for a medical procedure. We're learning more details about yesterday's mass shooting at a Jehovah's Witness meeting hall in Hamburg, Germany. CBS's Holly Williams catches us up.
German officials say the gunman had a sports shooting license to carry the pistol he used. Police also say they'd previously received an anonymous letter warning them that the shooter may have undiagnosed mental health issues.
Eight people were killed in that attack, including the shooter who killed himself.
Hello there. Hello. Are you visitors?
Prince Edward greeting crowds of people in Edinburgh today. He was named the new Duke of Edinburgh. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican, but the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Good day to be Indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis on Franklin Avenue, honoring health and tradition.
Right on. Hey, can you say Protasevich?
I sure can.
Judge
Judy Protasevich.
Right on. Hey, things are heating up in Wisconsin.
It's Janet. Judge Janet. Not Judge Judy.
Oh, my gosh, Wendy.
Oh, my gosh.
Good thing. Hey, so things are heating up, Wendy, in Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And we're excited to amplify that here on Native Roots Radio. We were both down in the Capitol today. A lot going on here in Wisconsin and all over the country politically. And so we want to get right to Zoe with the news that you don't hear anywhere else, because there's a lot going on. Ho-wah. Welcome, Zoe.
Jimmy Glitch Robert. This is Zoe Allen. I'm Sechangu Lakota and also a descendant from the White Earth Nation. Today, we had some really huge victories for our Indigenous folks in Minnesota. So I just figured we'd spend our time today talking about that, since both Robert and Wendy were at the Capitol today. So Representative Heather Keeler just recently passed the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. And so she released a press release today kind of stating what the act's about. So I'm just going to read that for our listeners today. So today, the Minnesota House of Representatives passed the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act with a 128-0 vote. SF 667 was authored by Representative Heather Keeler. She's representing the Moorhead area. And this bill codifies sections of MIFPA that were dependent on the Federal Indian Child Welfare Act, or as many of us know it, ICWA, into Minnesota law. And it also clarifies various terms that are undefined in ICWA. Representative Keeler was quoted saying that the erasure of my community isn't only in our past, it is firmly in our present. She also said, as an Indigenous woman, I'm committed to preserving my culture, language, values, and community. Other people have been attempting to exterminate us for generations, but the fact that we kept showing up in these places is an act of resiliency. We've overcome decades of harm aimed at our community through our children. What this bill does is continue to protect Indigenous children. so they continue to have a lifeline to their culture. This bill makes technical changes and adds numerous provisions to the Minnesota Indian Family, incorporating federal ICWA procedures and requirements for voluntary and involuntary child placement and permanency proceedings. The legislation also affirms the state's policy on tribal-state relations, including the recognition of tribes as sovereign nations and the recognition that tribes have the inherent authority to determine their own jurisdiction for Indian child custody or child placement proceedings. The Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act intends to protect Indigenous children and families from cycles of harm and trauma, said Speaker Melissa Hortman. With uncertainty around how the U.S. Supreme Court will rule on the constitutionality of the Indian Child Welfare Act, it is important that we act quickly in Minnesota and respect tribal sovereignty. I'm grateful to Representative Keeler and Senator Kunesh for their work on this legislation. She also said, I want to thank Representative Heather Keeler for carrying this important bill and for her commitment to protecting Indigenous children, said House Majority Leader Jamie Long. Voting for this bill is a vote to sustain the culture, language, and traditions of Indigenous people and tribal nations. So it was really big news today, Robert. It's kind of sinking in slowly with me. I mean, this is a huge, huge thing, especially for our younger generation that's starting to raise their own children. Knowing that our kids will be protected is really just incredible. I mean, I'm kind of actually speechless about it. What was it like being at the Capitol today?
Well, it was intense speeches by Heather Keeler, Alicia Kowalski from Duluth, also a couple of allies too, and it was really good. And once the vote hit, everyone was screaming and yelling because it was all green for wow. Yes.
That's yeah. Awesome. Was there any opposition?
No.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. It was amazing. So Minnesota, go, go, go.
Right. Yeah. No, it's, I mean, ICWA's been under attack nationally, you know, and to see that they went as far as to, you know, add provisions in there that ICWA doesn't, you know, cover, it is also just a testament to how thorough they were making this bill. And the fact that we have Native people representing us in, you know, in the legislature that can speak on behalf of us as a people, because we're not often in those rooms, is really, really incredible to see the support that other, you know, allies gave too. I think that that also says a lot about where the state Senate is at right now, which is actually pretty progressive spot for the moment, at least, you know, yeah. With this legislation, at least. Can't say as much for Minneapolis City Council. There's a lot going on there. Right. But it's good to know that there's definitely people in the state and there's people in the city council too, who have our back. Gives me some, you know, peace of mind for sure, for at least, you know, the near future. So yeah, unless you guys had anything else to add to that, I did have another update that is a little heavier on the Khalil A. Ajad case. So I reported on it a couple days ago that Khalil's family, along with MNT Activists, which is a grassroots organization in Minneapolis, ran by teenagers, which is pretty incredible. They've been asking for the Robbinsdale police to release all of the body cam footage, along with the footage taken aerially from police helicopters. And so on March 6th, the Robbinsdale police did upload hours of body and squad cam footage to their YouTube page. And they also announced that the BCA will be investigating the circumstances around Khalil's death. You can read the statement, actually, and watch the footage just by going to the City of Robbinsdale's website. An interesting thing that they did also, and I was reading the report from Georgia Fort, who's an incredible reporter in the Minneapolis area. She's done so much work around Black Lives Matter activism, and she actually now has her own blog, and I think she's getting her own TV show. But basically, she said that they didn't even like title the YouTube videos. So they're like really hard to find. And she couldn't directly link them to her article write-up on it, which is weird, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah, you have to go to their website and they're like hours of footage, of course. But what they didn't include was the helicopter footage. So you're just getting really dark on the, you know, on foot footage of them running through the woods with dogs. And it also isn't like Khalil's family also felt like there was definitely some skips and some pauses. So it's pretty suspicious. They think that it's maybe been tampered with. And so they're going to push to get unedited footage too. So we'll continue to update everyone on this case, as it's really important to talk about right now.
Yes, thanks, Zoe. Sometimes us BIPOC people have to take two steps back to take three forward, so appreciate your update. We got John Williams up next, Director of Development of Native American Community Development Institute. But first, we're going to hear from our Lieutenant Governor, so we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Oh, go ahead, Wendy. Say it. Stay with us.
Stay with us.
All right.
This is Hammer, mortgage originator with Provisor. Get your financing game on before you jump into the open house market. Join me at Weichert Realtors Lake Point 8 to 10 every Saturday and Sunday morning in March. Enjoy donuts from Zippy Lube, coffee from Forward Craft and Coffee, and let's talk financing strategy. It's an open house tailgate party at Weichert Lake Point 2045 Atwood Avenue. Visit MadisonOpenHouse.com for more info. Provisor Inc., NMLS ID 1802853, Equal Housing Lender.
March 15th.
What's March 15th?
March 15th is the absolute final day to take advantage of up to 50% off on our Civic Media Premium Weather sponsorships. First, we spread your business message and phone number to our listeners. Then we spread Mother Nature's plans for the next 36 hours. You'll get a 15-second ad every hour followed by your phone number. Don't wait. March 15th is almost here. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Snow likely today, otherwise cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 37. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Snow likely tonight. Lows level off around 25. Cloudy skies expected. Snow likely again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 30. Overcast skies. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're going to get with John here in a minute, but first we want to play a quick update from Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. Welcome, Lieutenant Governor.
Anine, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I'm joining Native Roots Radio with an update from the Walz Flanagan administration. Last week, the February forecast showed that Minnesota's economy is strong and stable, thanks to the hard work of working families and small businesses across our state. And the legislature continues to be incredibly productive on legislation that improves the lives of all Minnesotans. Also, the governor and I have the honor of appointing incredibly qualified and driven individuals as commissioners to lead our cabinet agencies. To date, the Minnesota Senate has confirmed 13 of our commissioner appointments. These include Department of Administration Commissioner Alice Roberts Davis, Department of Agriculture Commissioner Tom Peterson, Department of Commerce Commissioner Grace Arnold, Department of Education Commissioner Willie Jett, Office of Higher Education Commissioner and Fond du Lac Tribal Member, Dennis Olson, Department of Human Rights Commissioner, Rebecca Lucero, Department of Labor and Industry Commissioner, Nicole Blissenbach, Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board Commissioner, Ida Rukavina, Minnesota Management and Budget Commissioner, Jim Showalter, the Minnesota IT Department Commissioner, Tarek Tomes, Department of Revenue Commissioner, Paul Marquardt, Department of Transportation Commissioner Nancy Dobenberger, and Department of Veteran Affairs Commissioner Larry Herkey. These are all highly qualified and committed public servants who the governor and I rely on to lead the work of state government. We're grateful to these Minnesota senators for getting these confirmations done so quickly in this term. Last time I talked about two extremely important bills that had just passed the Senate, Restore the Vote and Driver's Licenses for All. The governor has signed both of those bills into law. The celebrations at these bill signings were incredibly moving and powerful and just a great reminder of all of the work that has been done over decades to make this legislative session possible. People kept the faith and now we're getting it done. Additionally, the governor has signed several other bills, including providing $5 million in emergency funding to food shelves to help more Minnesotans in need put food on the table. And incidentally, that was a bill that was introduced by Representative Heather Keeler, who's a member of the Native American Caucus. He also has signed a bill tying the budget forecast to inflation to make sure that we can keep up with the costs for Minnesotans. He's authorized the DNR to make changes to improve Minnesota's state park and recreation area boundaries and properly transfer Minnesota county and state lands. And the governor has also signed a bill unlocking $315.5 million in federally appropriated funds from the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act to improve our Minnesota roads. And boy, don't we need it right now. And then finally, the governor signed Executive Order 2303, which protects the rights of LGBTQ plus Minnesotans to seek and receive gender affirming care. And with this executive order, we are saying to our trans loved ones, to our friends, to our neighbors and fellow Minnesotans, that you belong here. You are safe here. We want you to live the fullest, truest, happiest version of your life and to be yourself here in our community. We were joined by medical professionals and elected officials, the Queer Caucus, community members who are all saying the same thing. Because let's be clear, this is life-affirming and life-saving healthcare. When our children tell us who they are, it's our job as grown-ups to listen and to believe them. And when our friends and neighbors tell us that this is critical care that will help them feel safer and happier and more themselves, it's our job to listen and to believe them. And when our medical professionals tell us this care will help improve and save lives of their patients, it is our job to listen and to believe them. In Minnesota, our trans, non-binary, two-spirit, gender-expansive relatives are seen and heard and valued and protected and loved for who they are. That is what it means to be a good neighbor, and I think that's what it means to be a Minnesotan. While there are bullies across this country who may be attacking the community, here in Minnesota, we are going to stand up for our trans relatives. There's more work that we can do to protect and support trans youth and adults, but I look forward to continuing that work in partnership with fierce advocates like Representative Lee Finke and with the community. So we continue to work hard. I'm going to keep sending you updates. I appreciate this opportunity to share with you what's happened down at the Capitol. Chimi Gwich, Pina Gigi, and back to you.
Wow, Wendy, just awesome to hear the Lieutenant Governor.
Always. I'm glad that she's on it. All the time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Every other week she's drops in with a nice segment. But hey, we got John Williams, Director of Development for Native American Community Development, on now. And we're really excited to have you on, John. Welcome.
Why, thank you, Robert. I'm honored to be here.
You know, it was funny. The last time you were on, I was listening to the show because, you know, I was critiquing it. And you, I got to just say this. You were worked with the Valley of the Dolls.
Ballet of the Dolls, yeah.
Right, and that blew my mind because a friend of mine was in that I went to high school with, Julie Tavine. I don't know if you remember name.
Julia, we love Julie.
Yeah, Julia, for sure. She was awesome. I went to high school and junior high with her.
You're bringing me back 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah, it was great.
Small world.
It is. Yeah, I lived in Minneapolis for 16 years. Yeah, 16 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It was really different back then because wasn't that like towards mid-80s?
Late 80s and the 90s.
Okay, yeah. The early 80s were, early 80s were kind of a fog to me, if you know what I mean, but I'm recovering. I'm on my way.
It was the late 80s that were foggy for me, so I'm with you.
Right on. Hey, so that's you're stepping in here for Robert Lilligren. Let's get an update of what would you like to talk about?
Well, we have so much going on at NACTI, but I was thinking it was snowing all day here today. I live in Marshall. I don't know if you knew that, Robert. I commute between the cities in Marshall, Minnesota. So I'm in southwestern Minnesota. But I was thinking that spring is like 10 days away.
Not really.
outside. We're on our third winter.
The hope of spring is in a week. I don't know. Do you know about our urban farm, Robert?
No, let's hear about it because I hear a little bit about it, but that'd be great
So many people know that we have a farmer's market. We've been doing that for 9 years. And everybody loves it. The community comes out. We have vendors. We've got educational tables. It's just a lot of fun from June until October every year. But in the past 3 years, Hennepin County Railroad Authority has leased three plots of land in East Phillips neighborhood on 29th Street on the Greenway between Bloomington and 18th Avenue. So we have three plots of land that we got for a lease that is like $1 a year.
Wow.
And our goal with those three plots of land is it's our food sovereignty work where we want to treat the land with no pesticides and honor our traditional ways of growing. The three different plots will be three different types of gardens. So we've started with a traditional farming garden or backyard garden, and we have 22 raised beds. And a lot of this infrastructure, Robert, was paid for by Midtown Community Works. They really wanted to see us, and the East Phillips neighborhood is really supportive. The Epic group is really supportive of this work. And so we're going to take it in stages. And this past year, we started with just one of the areas. The second plot is full of trees. We have maple trees, cedar, dogwood. Wow. And then the third plot is eventually probably starting in 2024 is going to be a traditional medicinal garden.
Nice.
So it's going to be really beautiful. We have an artist, Gracie Horn, who was commissioned to do a permanent installation there, a fixture, a seating area. That's going to be unveiled. But in this past year, we planted for the first time. And we planted all kinds of cool stuff. We, the food sovereignty programs at NACTI are under the banner of Four Sisters, right?
Right.
So we, in the first lot, we were doing trials of corn, beans, and squash, and which ones liked each other. Our farmer's named Gloria Icano, and she coached me today on what I was going to talk about because she's done all the planting. But she wanted to make sure that those three sisters were the right varietals that liked each other and got along. And we planted peas and oats. We had melons. We had yarrow, sunflowers. And then this fall, we planted the perennials that are going to come up every year. We did serviceberry trees.
Wow.
We did sweetgrass, sage, lemon balm, strawberries, raspberries. And we're just beginning to plant seeds. So we're going to do a seedling giveaway. But right now, our farmer Gloria is utilizing space at Midtown Farmers Market, where she'll start seedlings for the community. And wow, that event will be coming up at the farm, tentatively May 13th. But stay tuned for more details, because that's going to be a really cool thing to be able to provide seeds to the neighborhood.
Yeah, let's talk more about that in the next segment. You got time for, we got to take a quick break here, but we want to talk more about that, and we want some seeds over here in St. Paul. Oh, wow. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh, wow.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief, regulators are in search of a buyer this weekend for the failed Silicon Valley Bank. More from CBS's James Inman at the White House.
This follows a bad bet and loss on a bonds. That led to a run on the bank, which caused the second largest bank collapse in American history.
Torrential rains have washed away a major road in California's Santa Cruz County, says KPIX-TV reporter Justin Andrews.
A huge gaping hole here on North Main Street in SoCal. The road gave way, trapping so many people in this community. Crews tell us it'll be about 24 hours before they get these repairs all done.
A wet, wintry mix is heading towards the Midwest, and meteorologist Andrew Lyons at the National Weather Service Storm Prediction Center says it will then continue east.
Southern parts of New England look to probably get some heavy snow out of this system as it goes through at least early to midweek next week.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The Ides of March, the day that Caesar was killed, and it's the final day for you to make a killer deal.
March 15th.
That's right, March 15th is your last day to take advantage of our biggest sale. We're slashing prices on our premium sponsorships up to 50%.
Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results.
But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The issue with Milwaukee schools, just not enough high-quality schools.
Weekdays 11 to 2.
You can talk about everything else. You can talk about the funding. You can talk about school choice and for it or against it. But there's not enough Hope Christian schools. There's not enough St. Marcus schools. There's not enough Kings. There's not enough Reagans.
And until we fix that,
Milwaukee public schools really isn't going to change.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Howl! Oh, John got it in there that last second.
I got it in there at the last minute.
Right on. Hey, we're here with John Williams, Director of Development for Native American Community Development Institute. We're talking a little bit about gardening and seeds, and it's really interested me because I know it's important to have these pure seeds in our community, and like you were talking about with no pesticide, that's really exciting, John.
Yeah, I was just telling you that our farmer Gloria is going to be starting seeds. She's doing the cold, hardier ones. So to begin with, we'll do like kale and chard and broccoli. And she can even start flowers this early. So we'll have some snapdragons and zinnias and marigolds going. And so it's just really cool to see this process from I'm getting excited to wake up the farm is how we're talking about it and all the steps you have to take in order to, it really makes you appreciate agriculture and that farming is year round. I'm learning a lot. I mean, Robert, I know enough to plant flowers in a pot on the stoop of my house, but that's about it. You know, I'm not a gardener, but I'm learning a whole lot through the process. And yeah, we want to have more traditional seeds. We'd like to have a seed library. One of the ideas that someone came up with was having a seed a little free seed library, like the little book libraries people have.
Yeah. We have them down here by our house.
Yeah, we
have
do.
Somebody who has that on there. They have the little book instead of books in there, the library. They have seeds in there in our neighborhood.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're like pure seeds or and you know they don't have pesticides or anything, but yeah.
But still, that's kind of beautiful, you know, yeah. That people have things like that in our neighborhood.
Yeah, it's kind of, John, it's kind of like land back in a way, right?
It is. We are leasing the land, but it is only $1 a year for 10 years. And it's a partnership, really. Can we, through linking people back to the living world, through getting people's hands in the dirt, through having the community come together and have a safe space, a spiritual place. By doing that, will we help? You know, will it help reduce violence? Will it help make people feel less isolated? That's what we're hoping for, and I think that's really what farming and gardening can do for people. It brings them directly in contact with the earth.
Yeah, good medicine. Yeah, you know, and that's kind of part of land back in a fun way.
Yeah, the dog's barking right now, but I think it's really important to get you know kids involved because they're really fascinated, you know, about growing their own food. And if you plant this seed, then wow, you have something to eat in a month or two. It's amazing.
No. And they love it. They eat it up. Yeah, Gloria was just at center school today. We are working with schools. It's so important. You know, we take a multi-generational approach to all the work we do at NACT. I mean, that's just baked into our arts and culture, you know, all my relations. But yeah, I mean, it's just really important.
Yeah, it is. And what a great thing to do. I had no idea because, we talk with our seed keeper, help me out with her name, Wendy. We just talked to her. No, she works for.
Well, I just want to say like Maggie, for instance, Maggie Loren, she works with a lot of different you know, the kids, and they have a community garden, and they spend, you know, hours there on the weekends. And, you know, the kids are off the streets. They're out of trouble. They're being involved in something. And it's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
They think it's cool. And it is cool, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard somebody tell a story, and it was really deep, John, that he didn't really believe in a higher power until he thought about this mustard seed that was planted and then just magically grew into this big thing. And it really got him closer to the Creator and to the earth by just taking a step back and realizing that, you know, just some heavy stuff like that.
And John, what you were talking about earlier, about which vegetables and which plants go with another, and they're friendly and they help each other grow and they share nutrients with each other, and it just makes them grow stronger and better, where some plants and vegetables don't get along very well and they could hurt how they grow. It's really fascinating to me.
It really is. And, you know, that's why I was talking about Gloria doing the trials of the different varietals of corn, beans, and squash, the three sisters. And the fourth sister can be bee balm, you know, attracts the pollinators. And some people ask us, who's the fourth sister? Because everybody knows the three. But, you could even consider wild rice a fourth sister in Minnesota, couldn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. And the name I couldn't think of is Hope Flanagan. Hope.
Right.
Hope's so into the seeds, and how could I forget Hope's name? And she's really into, you know, the Three Sisters Market and comes there every year too. So what else you got going on? Because that sounds exciting, and I think that sounds like really changing. Earth-shattering change.
And to look out the window right now and see all the snow and just think about all these beautiful plants that are going to be coming up soon really is inspiring and helping my mood right now.
We're on the fourth winter or third winter of this year.
Oh, yeah, I know. I always look forward to the crocuses because that reminds me of spring the most. They're one of the first ones up. They're the little ones.
Oh.
And then what is it? Then tulips come up and daffodils. And I love the flowers coming to life.
Yeah. Zoe, do you got a statement or a question? I know that this is kind of your jam too.
What's that, mm-hmm. Zoe? Food sovereignty stuff?
Oh, definitely. I love food sovereignty work. My mom was involved in a lot of food sovereignty work up at the White Earth Tribal College, and we used to always go to the farming conference that they used to have up in White Earth. So it's always a great opportunity to learn more about our plant relatives. And I wanted to say, too, for our listeners that may not know, bee balm is also wild bergamot. And bergamot is a really important medicine to Dakota people, you know. So just wanted to mention that because I think there's so many words. I didn't even realize bee balm was bergamot until I got a little older. There's so many different words for the same plant. I was just thinking about spring too. Oh, go ahead, John.
No, I just said it gets confusing, all the different plants. That's why I'm learning so much. You know, Gloria's an actual farmer, and I just think it's fascinating the way that, putting the different plants together, just how you do that.
Yeah.
I was going to ask too, so do you guys have a group of youth that come and help work with the farm, or do you have any like internships or anything?
We're just starting. So we had to grow small. We've had some good support from the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And then we received a grant recently from the city's Office of Violence Prevention, because they believe in the project as well. And so we're just growing our capacity. So just recently we hired a food sovereignty coordinator, and that person's gonna be helping us with the plan that our leader, Elizabeth Day, her vision for this was to have a full-time farmer and then a coordinator, people to work with the community to help people with their beds and to bring community groups in. We can do men's groups there. We could do all kinds of things in the space. And it's three contiguous, plots of land. So, so that's what the coordinator is charged with doing, is developing those relationships. We have strong ones with EPIC, the East Phillips Improvement Coalition, and the city and the county. And so, yeah, we're just really growing it. It's going to be beautiful, but Gloria reminded me that it takes years for things to really establish. So you can't be thinking of just what's going to look great right now. You got to think of the future. And I think that's a beautiful message of farming.
That is a beautiful message. And Wendy had our front yard done a couple of years ago, and we're really excited because it is a process and things are growing, and things are growing a little bit and things are growing more. So it is a couple year process. And we're supposedly going to get little teeny frogs and things like that here in the inner city.
Yeah. So in our front lawn, we got rid of our concrete lawn. It's gone. And we had somebody come in and help plant pesticide-free, fertilizer-free.
We saw hummingbirds this year.
Plants that will attract hummingbirds, butterflies, bees, and birds. And I think this will be our third season with it. We had it planted in the fall. So it's one. This will be our second, our second season with it. And it's really, it has four little rain gardens. It has a stumpery, which is a bunch of stumps from old wood that has its own little ecosystem in it and its own moss that grows and specific bugs that go in there. And it's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
Moss is amazing. I just was reading about that. Moss is like really complex.
It is.
Yeah. Hey, John, I want to say, Pinigi, thanks for coming by. That's exciting information.
Thanks for having me, you guys. This was really enjoyable.
It always is, and it's always fun to hear, you know, about people's background and when you came here. And it's getting to be sugar bush season here, so maybe we can have you on back here and talk about that real soon.
That'd be great.
All right. Hey.
Can you remind everyone one more time where the farmer's market is?
Farmer's market is at NACTI's building at 1414 East Franklin Avenue. And the farm is at the 29th Street on the Greenway between 15th and 18th Avenue.
Perfect. Hey, thanks so much for being on. And great to see you again. It's always fun to see people on Zoom that we've met in purpose.
Nice to meet you, Wendy.
Yes, nice to meet you too.
Hey, we'll be right back.
This is Rocker, and I bet you didn't know I was a realtor. Come down to my open house tailgate party, 8 to 10 Saturday and Sunday mornings in March at Weikert Realtors Lake Point. Enjoy donuts from Zippy Lube and coffee from Ford Craft and Coffee, and let's talk strategy before you head into battle. Find your glory, create a battle plan. Enjoy coffee and donuts every Saturday and Sunday morning in March at Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find us on Facebook or weikert-lakepoint.com.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many ice augers and fishing shanties are being bought as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast today with snow likely. High temperatures reach up to 37. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Snow likely again tonight. Lows level off around 25. Cloudy. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Snow likely. High temperatures reach up to 30. 1 to 3 inches of snow today through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Ha ha ha!
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition and Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl! Howl! I just wanted to howl again.
Right on.
It's
me
one
too.
One of those days.
It is. Yeah. You were at the Capitol today, Wen. And wait, let me just back up here. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years. Take it away, Wendy.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Daiga Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And yes, I was at the Minnesota State Capitol today.
Yeah.
So let me just back up a little bit. So the Humane Society of the United States, a lot of people get this confused because of like animal humane societies, and we're totally different. So the Humane Society of the United States is the big giant organization that does not adopt out animals. We do not have a shelter. We do not adopt out animals at all. What we work on is policy. So we work at the state and local level to bring about internal changes and humane laws to help all animals, not just your little cats and dogs that we share our house with, but everything. We, you know, elephants, all kinds of animals, fish. Anything that is cruelty to animals, we try to fix. So that's what we do. We do work with local animal humane shelters in times of like disasters and hurricanes and tornadoes and floods. We will work with them to get animals out and into a safer place so we could bring those animals in that are in a disaster area. I talked the other day about how Humane Society International is in Turkey and Syria right now, helping with that movement there. So we appreciate that. So today I was at the Minnesota State Capitol at a hearing. So I don't know if any of you out there have ever witnessed a hearing at the Minnesota State Capitol or at your capitol, wherever you may live. I encourage it somebody to go there and to experience it. So you're in a big room. All the doors are closed. All the senators, or if you're in the Senate hearing or a House hearing or a city council hearing, the important people who are making the decisions are in the front of the room, usually in some type of a semicircle looking type of thing. And then there's chairs in the middle where the people who are testifying will sit and testify. And then around them and in the back and around them are people who are just there to observe and to bring support and show the Senate, the House, or your city council members that you're there in solidarity and that you care about the issue that's being heard that day. So that's kind of where I was today. I was just there in solidarity I didn't have to testify or anything. But what we were there for was the Minnesota Humane Pet Store Law. And I talked about this before. It was how Senate File 1317, and what this bill essentially says is we do not want Minnesota pet stores to sell puppies and kittens that originate from a puppy mill.
Right.
So we want to cut that pipeline from the puppy mill to the pet store. Well, we had two wonderful people who were there testifying, and they did a really fantastic job. We had a lot of support for this bill. Unfortunately, we had some pushback, and the bill is not going forward as it is written right now. So a couple of things will happen. It'll either be rewritten, it'll just go away right now, and we'll bring it up another time when we feel like we have more support. But we encourage everyone to please adopt, do not shop, because 99.9% of the dogs that are in pet stores or pet shops are originated from a puppy mill.
Yep, yep.
If you're a breeder and you're breeding dogs and you're a reputable breeder, there are certain things that you will do and will not do. So the first thing that you will not do is sell your dog to a pet shop to be sold there. So reputable breeders want the people to come to their home.
Right.
They want you to see the dogs. They want you to meet the mother dog and the father dog. They want you to learn about the breed and make sure that it's a right fit for you and this particular breed of dog. If you're a really excellent breeder, you will have the people who buy your dog sign a contract saying, if for any reason throughout the life of this dog you do not want it anymore, if something happens, we do not want you to put that dog in a shelter or give it away. We want the dog back.
Yes.
But really good ethical breeders are really, really far and in between. It's really, really hard to find a really upstanding and reputable breeder. And again, the dogs and the cats who go to the pet stores are from these mills. These puppy mills are these facilities that breed dogs over and over again. The dogs are kept in cages, and they're just bred over and over again in their life. They never go for walks. They don't see the sunshine. They don't go for, you know, go for walks or live in a house. They just stay in the cage, and they're bred over and over again. And their puppies are gone, sometimes sold online, sometimes going to puppy, you know, the pet stores. So that's what that was. So that's where I was today. How much time do I have? I have one more thing I want to say here.
You got 3 minutes.
Oh, 3 minutes. I could say a lot in 3 minutes.
Yes, you can.
So the other thing, Robert, you and I, over the years, have protested the Shrine Circus.
Yep.
Yeah, so the Shrine Circus, I'm just trying to find my notes here. Oh, yeah, Osmond Shrine Circus in St. Paul. So a lot of people will say, hey, Wendy, the Shrine Circus, they do really good work. They are out there, you know, getting money for the Children's Shrine Hospital that helps children. Yes, mm-hmm. I get it. I think it's wonderful. Get all the money that you want. Just don't use animals to do it.
Right.
Over the years, so anyway, the Osmond Shrine Circus is coming to St. Paul Thursday, March 23rd to March 26th. I encourage everyone not to go. Do not buy a ticket. Do not go, even if you're given a free ticket.
Right.
Right now, these animals that are in the circus are treated horrifically. Elephants, bears, tigers are usually the most popular three. Physical punishment has always been the standard training method for animals in circuses. Animals are beaten, shocked, and whipped to make them perform over and over again. Tricks that make no sense to them. That's what happens.
Right.
Bears don't ride bicycles in the wild, right? So the AWA, which is the Animal Welfare Act, allows the use of bull hooks, whips, electric shock prods, or other devices by circus trainers. Actually, in Minneapolis, years ago, I worked on getting the bull hooked banned in Minneapolis. And you know what that did? Just getting that bull hooked banned caused the circus not to be able to come in with elephants, because the bull hook is a terrible hook. It's a big bull hook, if you could imagine, a hook on the end of a stick where they intimidate the elephant to submission. And this is the only way that they can control this animal.
Right.
So without that bull hook, they can't come into Minneapolis. Virtually 96% of circus animals' life is spent in chains and cages. Since 1990, there have been more than 123 documented attacks on humans by captive large cats in the United States, 13 of which resulted in fatal injuries. During the off-season, animals used in circuses may be housed in small traveling crates. So they're really taught, you know, you see the elephants, they're on the side, they're waiting for the circus to start. They're all chained up in this little area, and they're swaying back and forth, swaying Jeez. Back and forth over and over again. That's stress. That's a sign of stress from these animals. So again, please, the Osmond Shrine Circus or any other animal, any other circus in the area, there's ways that the circus can be humane. They sell food, novelties, you could take pictures with the clown. There's acrobats. There's free face painting. There's non-animal rides. There's a lot of things that the circus can do to be more humane.
Hey, good segment as always, Wendy. Great passion. Hey, our daughter is going to be on Care 11 tonight talking about the store if you guys are in the Twin Cities.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Name my best name, Kaya. It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for tickets at madcitybridoexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets are also available at the door for $10. Read all the details at madcitybridoexpo.com and like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
March 15th.
What's March 15th?
March 15th is the absolute final.